executioner of Eichmann, and it was fascinating sitting and hearing from him. He was a Yemenite Jew who wasn't dati at the time, and it was Chozer B'Tshuvah, and he spoke, and he said that under very strict orders, they were commanded not to say a word to Eichmann. Eichmann, they knew, was going to try to get into a fight, to instigate, to bother, get into an argument. You know, we all know how Israelis can get sometimes when they get angry, and he wanted him to get killed. He wanted to have the Israelis kill him and not stand trial. So they had a group of 24 people, 12 groups of two, and they never spoke to him. And he would try, and he said only one time he gave in. One time he spoke to him. Eichmann said, I studied the religion. We studied the religion we were going to destroy. And I understood a lot about Judaism. There's one thing I don't understand. What's about Shema? What's so special about Shema? So the executioner said, it was the only time he responded. He said, why do you ask that? He said, because it didn't matter who was being brought into the gas chambers. It didn't matter what they looked like. It didn't matter what kind of Jew they were. They all said Shema. So what is it about Shema that was so universally accepted, that was so powerful, that in their last moments being brought to the gas chambers, they said Shema? Now, he didn't answer the question. He said, I'm not a rabbi. Answer the question. I'm not sure that we're going to answer the question tonight, but I think we know that Shema does have that power. There are many stories of people dying on Kiddush Hashem and saying Shema. It is a mitzvah d'oraisa, that's how we paskin, which we perform every day and every evening. And it's a mitzvah that's of critical importance to a Jew. I always found it very interesting that we cover our eyes in Shema. And that's tonight, we're going to talk about why we cover our eyes in Shema. There are other mitzvahs that we say, the brachos that we say, the Shmona Esrei. We talk a lot as Jews. The Sipur Yetzias, well, they have to read the book. It's too long to, I guess, keep your eyes closed. But there's a lot that we do, and we don't always keep our eyes closed and certainly not put hands over our eyes. So what I like to do tonight is try to learn through some sources and try to understand a deeper insight into why we cover our eyes in Shema, what it's trying to do for us. As we did last year, we spoke about topics in Shabbos, where we tried to blend halacha and machshava and chassidus when relevant to try to have a better insight into Shalom Aleichem and benching our children and Eish Yischayel and salt on the table and lechem mishnah and covering the challah and shal shudus and besamim. Those are topics we discussed. So this year we'll transition to everyday ritual. So today will be Shema. Next time I think will be three steps back, three steps forward. Maybe bowing while we bow during certain brachos in Shema. Nefilas Apayim, why do we go like this in Tachanun? And I'm open to other suggestions. Please don't hesitate to reach out. I've been enjoying, really thoroughly enjoying preparing this year. And since I've prepared this, my Shema has not been the same. So let's start in the first source. I forgot to number the sources. I apologize. It's a Gemara in Brachos, and we'll translate it. So if you don't want to follow along in the Aramaic, the Hebrew, I hope you'll still be able to understand. Rabbi Yirmiya have a Yosef Kamed Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Rabbi Yirmiya was sitting in the presence of Rabbi Chiya. Chazye da have a Marich Tuva. He saw that he was lengthening. He was saying his Shema. He was going for a long time. Omar Le. So he responded to him. Kevan da Amluchte Lamala Ulamato Larba Ruchas Hashemayim Su Lo Tzrichas. Once you were Amluchte, it's from the word Mamluch, you made God king, you crowned God, Lomal Lomata, up and down, Olarba Ruchos, right, left, and all around. So, Sulo Tzrichas, you don't have to anymore. Don't be so frum. Your Shema doesn't have to be that long. As long as you were able to Mamluch God, maybe in your mind, maybe not, we'll see, Lomal Lomata, up in Shemaim, in this world, in all four directions, you're fine. Okay. Tarbon. Shema Yisrael, Shema Kino, Shema Chad. Zu Kriya Shema Shal Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi would learn. He was what's called Tarasa Umnaso. He didn't do anything other than learn. So all he said was one pasuk of Shema. Okay. Now here's where it gets interesting. Amar Le Rav L'Rab Chia. Rav says to Rab Chia, Lo Chazinan Le L'Rebi Demekabal Ale Malchus Shemaim. Rebbe's Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi we didn't see him say Shema. Shema is referred to as Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemaim. It's our accepting of Hashem over us. So Rebbe's giving shir. I guess he started the shir before the Zman, and he didn't finish the shir until after the Zman. We didn't see Rebbe say Shema. So I'm going to say, Barpachti, B'sha Shema Vir Yadav Alpanov, Mikabel Alav Ol Malchus Shemaim. At the time where he put his hands over his face, maybe you thought he was tired or he was scratching his face or whatever, but at the time when he put his hands over his eyes, that's when he was Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemaim. That's the Gemara. So comes along Rabbeinu Yonah. We're not going to do it inside. Rabbeinu Yonah says that a person, when he's Ma'arich in Echad, when he says Shema Yisrael Hashem, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, he has to not just think in his mind that Hashem is the king up and down in all four directions, but he has to be Yirmoz Be'enov. He has to move his eyes in all four directions. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. It's not enough to just think it. You have to act it out. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, that's why Rebbe covered his face. He didn't want people to see. He didn't want to draw attention to himself. Maybe he didn't want to distract people. He didn't want people to think he was so pious. So the reason why Rabbi Yehuda Nasi covered his face, covered his eyes, is so that the people would not see him doing this crazy eye motions with his eyes. Comes along the Rush and he says, absolutely not. If you take a look at the Rush, it's on the top of the left bracket. The Rush disagrees. It's underlined, three lines from the bottom. The Ein Raya Misham. There's no proof from over there that you have to move your eyes when you think of Hashem. It's enough to think it in your mind. Why else would Rebbe have covered his eyes? What's another reason Rebbe would have covered his eyes other than to block people?
What? Not to be distracted.
Not to be distracted. So says the Rush, L'fisha Yoshe B'sochat Sibur. Rebbe was giving a shir. There are a lot of people there. Hayamavir Yadav Yenav Kadesh Yuchal Chavin. We are easily distracted. Did you read ahead? No, I'm kidding. Rebbe was in a crowd. There were people around. There was a large tzibur. Presumably, people came out to hear Rebbe. Presumably, he had wings and sausages also. And Rebbe gave the shir. He didn't want to be distracted when he said Shema. So that's why, Carter, you can't bring your proof from there that you have to do eye motions, because otherwise, why did Rebbe cover his eyes? You don't have to do the eye motions. It's enough to think it. Rebbe covered his eyes because he wanted to have proper kavana in Shema. And that's really, the Rabbeinu Yonah is the first reason. No one really goes to the Rabbeinu Yonah. The main reason why we cover our eyes in Shema, this is the simple reason. We're going to develop two other reasons, which I think are more meaningful, is that Shema requires extra kavana. We know that. Even if you hold mitzvahs, ein tzrichos kavana, which means you don't have to have proper kavana when you're doing a mitzvah, the essence of the action is the performance of the mitzvah, and you fulfill a mitzvah, Shema is different, because you're accepting on yourself Hashem's rulership, and if you don't think about that, then that's not called Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. It's like the guy who just says, I love you, without really meaning it. So you have to cover your eyes, because you need to have kavana. And the way to have kavana when you're sitting in front of a big tzibur of people is to put your hands over your eyes. Now, if I would stop here, I could have argued that would only be true in public. Let's say a person's davening alone. So there's a sefer, the next source, which is a rav who came from Hungary, I think before the war, Rabbi Yonason Steif, who was a rav in Bar Park, or Brooklyn. He writes, from this Gemara, you would think you don't have to cover your eyes when you're B'tzibur. If the whole proof was from Rebbe, Rebbe was giving a shir in front of a lot of people, so it should only be B'tzibur. But he says, in the end of the second line, V'chamaduma shamina gam kishkor b'yichidus kriyashma shema avirin hayadayim agabe hainayim b'pasuk rishon. The minhag is, even when one's alone, a person should cover their eyes. And I think the reason is fairly simple. I don't know about you, I'll speak for myself. I'm equally distracted when I'm alone in my house, even if there's no phone in my pocket or on the table. It's we have a hard time focusing. And even when one's... So we're going to talk about that. That's my next question. Why have to cover your eyes? Just close your eyes. We'll get there. But that's, I think, the Pshad and the Shita Mekubetzetz, who's a Rishon in Brachos, he says the same idea. He doesn't talk about a congregation. He says the reason why you cover your eyes is so you shouldn't look all around. If you're you're just sitting there. You have to have kavanah and shema. And again, I'm speaking for myself. I don't always have great kavanah when I'm saying brachos or even saying shema. So we cover our eyes to force, cover your eyes to force ourselves to have kavanah. And that's the approach that's in Shulchan Aruch and in most mefarshim, that we cover our eyes so that we could have proper kavanah. Now, I'm going to put your question off until the end. Why do we need to cover your eyes? Just close your eyes. All right. You have to have kavanah, so we tell you to close your eyes. Why do you have to cover your eyes? We'll develop two answers to that in a minute. I wanted that...
Part of that question, would it make a difference if you're in Rabbeinu Yonah or the Rashi?
According to Rabbeinu Yonah, you would have to definitely cover your eyes.
Because
the reason is so people don't see that you're doing your...
Right, when they're closed, people can't really see.
Well, you're not. If your eyes are closed, you're not looking.
So is that? So I'm saying. So I guess I'm really asking.
Very good.
What's Rabbeinu Yonah really getting at?
Well, I would say more. I would say Rabbeinu Yonah's proof is probably from why do you have to cover your eyes? According to Rabbeinu Yonah, if it's all about kavanah, just close your eyes. So Rabbeinu Yonah, why does he force you to look in the different directions? I don't know. I mean, we're people educationally. It comes probably from the Jewish religion, the whole notion of you're the educator. You'll tell me the fancy educational phrase. But when we do things, when we act on things, it's experiential learning. Why do we do? I mean, Rosh Hashanah is all about that. With the simanim and with tashlich, we do actions to help focus or get a deeper understanding, appreciation for it. So if you look in the direction, you're more likely to think about the directions that you're looking at. So maybe Rabbi Yonah brings his proof from the fact that you cover your eyes. If it's just, why do you have to cover your eyes? If it's just come on and close your eyes. So it must be that you're trying to block whatever you're doing with your eyes. So, but the Mefarshim go with the Rosh.
But according to Rabbi Yonah, then why would you have to do it? Why would you have to cover your eyes? Be Yechidus?
I don't know that you have to. Right. You probably wouldn't have to,
yeah.
According to Rabbi Yonah. He doesn't say. But you're right. It's so that people don't. You can even ask more of that. What? Who cares what people see? If it's the right thing to do, so it's the right thing to do. Fine. Now, there's a whole. If you look carefully, what do you have to? Do you have to cover your face? Do you have to cover your eyes? One hand, two hands. What do we do? Oh, the shin dal yud. My friend Rabbi Aryeh Silverfish was going to talk about that. Maybe if the Shulchan Aruch is unclear. If you look at the bottom right, I'm really. I apologize for not numbering it. Noagin litain yidehem al pinehem bekriyas pasuk rishon. The meaning is that yidehem. What does yidehem mean?
Two hands.
Hands al pinehem.
Faces.
On your face.
Yeah, faces.
So it's very good. So maybe you would have said yidehem means hands, but two-faced. Two-faced. Pinehem, so it's referring to people. Double chin? I don't know. No, it's referring to people. So maybe from the fact that pinehem is in plural, it's interesting. You know, I didn't see anyone who said that.
You can't say face in singular.
Panav.
That's a lot of people, not a lot of faces.
But maybe
it's not. But you could say Yadav al Panav.
Right. Nogin Litain Yadav al Panav.
But maybe the Shulchan Aruch is asking multiple people, not for one.
Right. No, but presumably he's talking about people. But what Michi.
Maybe he's saying you only have to do it when you're in Seymour. So it only applies when you're saying Shulchan Aruch.
Interesting.
But when you're on your own, it wouldn't apply.
Interesting. So. You're raising a good point. The Elia Rabba on the next source says, Mashma Ktsas Shenotain Shtei Yadav Alinav. It's Mashma a little bit, maybe he's saying only a little bit, because maybe from the fact that it says Pneihem in plural, I don't know. But it's a little bit Mashma, it's a little bit implied that you put two hands on your eyes. He says, other Mepharshim, it sounds not that way, because you have to hold your tzitzits in one hand, your left hand. So you're going to hold your tzitzits. Your talus has to be very long. It can get very clumsy. So he says, maybe the Shulchan Aruch is only talking about Marv. Marv, you don't hold your tzitzits. He says it's definitely not Mashma that way. He says it could be Yedeyem, which means people's hands. And if you turn the page, the Mishnah Brura says, Yedeyem Ratzalomar Yad Yamin, your right hand. The Aruch HaShulchan goes with both hands. I've never seen anyone go with two hands. Maybe you have. The Mishnah Brura and others both seem to say that it's one hand and the right hand. One hand and the right hand. There is this minhag.
And if you're a righty, it's easier to use your right hand than your left hand.
Right, well, I would use our right hand. But it's interesting.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah, that's.
What did I do with that source? Did I not put it in?
I left
the source out by accident. The stipler is brought down in Orchas Rabbeinu. The stipler says that he was a lefty. The stipler going was a lefty, and he still uses his right hand. And he doesn't explain why. So that's most people. Most people use one hand, their right hand, and they hold a tzitzit in their left hand. If they're not holding tzitzits, it could be nighttime. It could be a woman who's not wearing tzitzits. So they would still use just their one hand, and you have to deal with the Shulchan Aruch says yideim. It means people's hands. There is this minhag. I don't know if it's a Syrian minhag, it's a Sephardi minhag, it's a Kabbalistic minhag, where people make the shin dal yud with their five fingers. If you've seen this, you wanna describe for us? You think you take the thumb?
I just know it's a shin.
You take the thumb on the right eye and you make it like a shin. How do you make the thumb like a shin?
I think the three fingers are the shin.
Sorry, the thumb is the yud, and the pinky is on the left eye is a dalad, and the three fingers in the middle become the shin, and people like that somehow. And there is some deep Kabbalistic explanation for that, which I am somewhat unaware of. I'm in the process of finding it out. People here.
So the thing before said you use your right hand to cover your eyes.
Right.
And your left hand to
hold your tzitzit.
But you don't hold your tzitzit when you're covering your eyes, right? I mean,
I think the minhag a lot of people is to hold the tzitzit from the beginning of Shema.
Okay.
Now, I wanted to digress for a minute in terms of an interesting halakha question, and then we'll get into these two other reasons. Many of us are wearing glasses. So what do you do with glasses? You put your hand over your glasses. Okay, we saw in Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to cover your eyes. Cover your face, cover your eyes. You're supposed to cover your eyes. So do you cover your hand over your glasses, or do you pull the glasses up, take the glasses off, and cover your eyes? So what do...
Hand under the glasses.
Hand under the glasses.
One hand on, one hand over.
One hand.
That's the hand.
You go over. Interesting. So there's a tshuva of the Divrei Yitziv, who was the Kloisenberger Rebbe. Zecher Tzadik, the Kalash of Bracha. So he has a tshuva here. He was asked, when a person is going to cover their eyes for Shema, do they have to take off their bate enayim in the next source, mishkafayim? Do you need to take off the glasses when you're covering your eyes in Shema? So he writes in the first line, in the middle of the line, L'dayti arav akadosh mi nasad, I'm not sure who that is, niskavin b'zeh, shelo yehe bilbul, the whole point is to increase your kavana. You could argue that if you're going to be particular to take your glasses off, that could detract from your kavana. You take your glasses off, you don't make sure they don't fall you, and you got to put them back on. It could be distracting. You're at a moment where you're about to fulfill this great mitzvah to be mekabel all malchus shemayim. To start playing around with your glasses could take away from the whole purpose of the glasses. And he writes, the atu yesh inyan chatzitza b'kriya shma. There's no chatzitza. There's no, it's like tefillin. You don't have a chatzitza between your tefillin and your arm. There's no din that you can't have a chatzitza between your hand and your eyes. So he says, if that's the case, so just put your hand over your glasses. That's the Kloisenberger Rebbe. There's that pashut ma'od, he says in the last couple of words, the ain makom maharech, there's no point, this is not the time to go on, it's pashut, you don't need to. And the next source was of Rabbi Yamin Zilber, who I think passed away in the last couple of years. He says the same thing, a very interesting line. He says, Mishalavush Bate Enayim Mishkafayim, Ein Sarach Lahasira Mizman Shomer Shema Yisrael, Sheikarahu Minhag. Really, this idea of covering our eyes is a minhag. The Ein Lasos Hidurim, the Chumras, the Yisoda, Atzimas Enayim Bechazaka. Don't take this minhag and now start throwing on all these chumras and these stringencies and mitzvah minam muvchar and alech achila. Just relax, do what you're supposed to do, cover your eyes, and that's enough. The delo kimoshra isi machmirin bezeh. Unlike those who I saw were machmir to take the glasses off, ki ein l'chumra zu shum basis. There's no basis for this chumra. The gam mivalbel akrishma. It could mess around and confuse you while you're saying Kriya Shema, detract you from the whole Kavanah. He says then it's not so simple, because the whole idea of covering your eyes is that it's another protection from being able to see. When you cover your glasses, you can still see from underneath your hand. When you cover your eyes, so you can't see anything, even if you keep your eyes open, I think most people I've never seen behind people's arms and hands while they're saying Shema. I don't know. I'm saying for me, I usually close my eyes also when you say Shema. It's just what I do. Not based on anything. It's just, I don't know. That's what I do. But hide and seek. When your kids play hide and seek, ask them tonight, do they just cover their eyes or do they also close their eyes?
It's like shoe basis for that.
Right. So if you're not going to cover your eyes, apparently you don't need to, and you're just going to have your hand over your glasses, you can still see. I mean, again, unless you have tiny glasses or really big hands. But most people can see out. So he says maybe that would be a reason to cover, to another reason, that would be a reason to take off the glasses. He says basically whatever is going to be best for your kavana, that's what a person could do. Now, why do we cover our eyes? Just close your eyes. Just close your eyes. I saw two other reasons in why we cover our eyes and close our eyes for Shema, which totally changed my Shema in the last week, a week and a half. One is the Kloisenberger Rebbe. The Kloisenberger Rebbe, in that Shuva, which I looked up because he talked about glasses, he has six words which are so powerful and amazing, and just a little background. The Kloisenberger Rebbe was the founder of the Sanz Kloisenberg Hasidus, and he was brought to, I think he was in many concentration camps, eventually ended up in Auschwitz, and survived. I believe his wife and his 11 children were killed in the Holocaust, and I believe all 150 of his family members, not one survived besides the Kloisenberger Rebbe, and he was basically in the DP camps the leader of the survivors. I mean, the stories are hard. No, that's the Kalever Rebbe. Rebbe's with a K. It's confusing sometimes. The Kloisenberger Rebbe, it was very unlike a Hasidic Rebbe. He took care of all the girls, the survivors, the young girls, and made sure they had a proper education. Yom Kippur night, their stories, he didn't make it to shul because he benched all the girls who had no families in the DP camp. Their stories when Eisenhower came, it's unbelievable what he did. And then he ended up coming right near in Union City. I believe his son passed away recently, was still the Rebbe there. And probably the most famous story of the Kloisenberger, I mean, we could talk for an hour about the Kloisenberger Rebbe, the famous story, he was on a death march, miles and miles and miles, and he was shot. He was shot in the hand. And he quickly grabbed a leaf, a twig, a branch from a tree to apply pressure, and another twig to tie it around it. And they were treated so inhumanely. And he turned to God and he says, if I could survive this, I'm going to open up a hospital which is going to be all Jewish, all based on Torah, and I'm going to treat people with extra care. And he did. In 1970s? I believe in the 70s, he moved from Union City to Netanya. He brought his chassidus with him and he opened up the Laniato Hospital, which is a booming hospital. You've been there? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And that was, so, again, just the background. One other story I saw online today. Upon entering into Auschwitz, confronted by the brutal German soldiers with their disparaging curses and vicious beatings, the Rebbe encouraged his fellow Jews, "Do not be frightened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present even in this place. He has preceded us here. He is waiting to save us. There is no place in the world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not present." Seeing three young yeshiva students who had arrived in the camp on his transport, the Rebbe walked over to them and began encouraging them to take strength in their faith in the Almighty. With great emotion, he asked them, "Do you believe that the Creator is here with us?" That's the Kloisberger Rebbe. Says the Kloisberger Rebbe, you know why you cover your eyes and close your eyes? Because Shema is that Emunah on Hashem. Shema is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. As we started with, that's what people, when they're dying for God, they say Shema. Sometimes you can't see God. The belief in Hashem is most strong and is tested when we can't see what He's doing. So close your eyes. Close your eyes and cover your eyes. You can't see. You don't see the Ribbono Shalom. We don't see God. We don't know why He's doing things. And then say Shema to remind ourselves that even when we don't know what's going on, even though we can't understand why God's doing that, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And that is heavy. That is unbelievable. It's only a little pshat. There's so many things that happen. We don't understand why Kosh Barba does things, and we're still Makabal Malchus Shemayim. We close our eyes to remind ourselves of that. And hearing that is amazing, and hearing that from the Kloisberger Rebbe, I don't know when he came up with this pshat, but I think it's a very, very beautiful pshat in why we close our eyes, why we cover our eyes. The last pshat I want to share with you, Rabbi Salber from town, who I now have the zechus of working with, he told me his father told him this pshat many years ago, but he didn't know where it was. And I searched on Otzar HaChachma and I Googled it, and finally I found it. I don't think this is where his father got this, because this sefer was written 3 years ago. But Rav Shmuel Brazil, who was a Rebbe in Shar Yashiv and one of the singers of Regesh, for those who are, I think he together with Abish Breut, wrote Machnisa Rachamim song and many others. He says an amazing, amazing idea. He starts our Torah while we're kissing the mezuzah, which I spoke about on Shavuos. I wish I knew this then. He said, "What's the one thing that man has that no one else has? One thing that no one could replicate. It's a fingerprint. That's how when we fingerprint criminals and you certain jobs, you check the database. Fingerprint is the only thing that no one can replicate. It's yours. That is manifests the uniqueness of man." He says, the palm of our hand also, the line, I'm not advocating going to a palm reader, but the lines of our hands are no two hands are the same. Says Rav Shmuel Brazil and Rav Salber's father from someone, that at a time where we're accepting on ourselves Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, at a time where we're priming ourselves to serve our Creator, we remind ourselves of our uniqueness. My service to God and my abilities is unlike anyone else. So it's not enough to close your eyes. We cover our eyes. We put our hand, our fingertips on our face because we're being Makabal Shemachu Shemaim. We want to remind ourselves, and we can read through some of the words. We have a couple minutes. We remind ourselves that our uniqueness, our ability to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique, and it's a challenge. And he says kissing the mezuzah is the same thing. We the mezuzah represents the kedusha of our house, the shmir of our house. So take the hand, your fingerprint, and kiss it to remember that your house can be based on your own unique ability and unique talent. He says, Kasva Mekubalim, it's on the last page. It's a sefer called Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, which the whole sefer is about this idea of man's uniqueness and man's ability to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his own talents. He says, Kasva Mekubalim, the Kabbalists write, V'nasa l'minog Yisrael, and it's become a custom, Shebechol pam, heim b'tziyaso, heim b'knisaso, when we enter and when we exit, when we enter, Yaniach yado ala mezuzah v'yanashka, we put our hand on the mezuzah and we kiss it. Yesh levar, she'omek hakavona b'minog zeh, that the depth of this minog, he lahazkir Yehudi al yichidu yuso, on his uniqueness, on the yachid, to remind the Jew of his unique qualities. Shebekaf ube etzbaos, in the palm and in the fingers, hayad nikeres, hayichiduyus, haniflaa shel adam, the wondrous uniqueness of man. Ki kol adam yesh lo sirtut miyuchad, echad benima bemino, shel nimtza etzel shum adam acher. What's your on your palm and your fingertip is unlike anyone else in the world. It testifies, or it's megale, reveals to us your own mission. If you skip down to the next paragraph, there's another layer of depth. The real way to accept upon ourselves Hashem and serving Hashem, umitzvos. It has to be like the line, the carving of the palm. Shalkaf kol yachiv yachid dahinu kavodas general shu echad umiyuchad b'tzva Hashem. Each soldier has a unique role in the army of Hashem. Shadavka b'ofen zeh tiknu chachamenu l'kabo omachushmayim pamayim b'choyom b'kirishma. That's why we cover our eyes with our hand to remind ourselves that I'm about to talk about Hashem, my relationship with Hashem, it's mine. Don't look at the person next to you. Don't worry about what other guy's doing. Don't worry what he's doing. Don't worry what you did. It's you, it's us, it's each of us in our unique way. And that was a very powerful, unbelievable pshat. So now we have three, really four reasons. Leave the Rabbeinu Yonah out for a minute. We have kavana. Shema needs extra kavana. Even if mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana, the first pasuk of Shema has a heightened level of kavana. There's God. And we hope to never be at the point where we're saying Shema, we give up our life, but sometimes it's harder to say Shema and living our life in that way, to have kavana, that Hashem runs the world. That's the simple pshat, and that's what's brought down l'alacha. You have the Kloisenberger Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik B'Kadosh L'Bracha, that close your eyes, cover your eyes, Hashem and Abir. We still have to have that emunah and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when we can't see, we don't know why he's doing what he's doing. And then finally, the Rav Shmuel Brazil and Rav Sa- oh, I'll add Rav Salber's father, and I'll add Rav Salber on his own wanted to say, that's why women, and thank you for coming, so this will be more meaningful, that's why when they light candles, right, they go like this. Because they're exempt from mitzvah saseh, shazman grama. So they don't have to, it's a question of shema, not say shema, but many mitzvah saseh, shazman grama, they're allowed to do, but they're exempt. Their mitzvah, so to speak, is halakas haner. That's not their only mitzvah, but that's the woman's mitzvah is near Shabbos, so the same thing. When they're setting up their home in that mitzvah, they take their hands and wave their hands and their fingertips to remind themselves that that's Rabbi Salber's addition to his father's pshat, tag team. And that's the idea where I think can be very impactful. So when we cover our eyes, it's not just to have kavana or just because that's what we've done since we were 3 years old, but it's to remind ourselves of our unique ability to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our unique talents. Shkach, everyone. Have a good night. Have a good Shabbos. If they're 10 for Marv, we'll say Marv. And maybe we'll take a couple extra seconds when we cover our eyes during Marv Shema to think about that.